The main thing to remember about oil prices, and who isn't reminded every time they fill up a car, is that Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February and the subsequent embargo of Russian oil pushed oil from $80 per barrel to $120 per barrel. In Alaska, every $10 increase in the price of oil amounts to about $1 billion in state revenue. This all happened fast. The Alaska legislature was in session. Bert Stedman, co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, said there was consensus, nevertheless, to build a conservative budget that breaks even at pre-war prices, but funnels money into the state's two major savings accounts, the permanent fund, and some other select programs if the price meets or exceeds certain benchmarks.
And the reason we wanted a structure like this, we want to get the discussion on the table of how do we save our windfall revenue in the event and when it comes, and it does come from time to time, so we don't just balloon up our expenditures or squander it off on frivolous spending, but actually make it beneficial for decades.
This is a little different approach than the early years of Alaska's oil boom when it seemed that there was no end in sight to oil revenues. Times have changed, of course, and Stedman has watched Alaska spend more than it's earned every year since 2012. Now, the budget's got these levers to make sure nothing's spent unless the revenue is there. For example, $85 oil is the basic budget. $87 oil starts forward funding of the state's public schools, or paying for schools 2 years at a time rather than one. $101 oil begins to refill the nearly empty constitutional budget reserve. $111 oil and above is deposited into the permanent fund. Stedman would like to see even more money go into the constitutional budget reserve, the state's main savings account, but it's not an especially sexy policy. We already know what the main distraction will be in the Capitol next year.
But then there's also the debate over the dividend.
The permanent fund dividend captures the interest of Alaskans like nothing else, but it presents a problem for conservatives like Stedman, who have a very restrained approach to government spending, even when that spending is a cash payout to residents. He says the dividend formula is from a different era.
You know, we have the dividend formula that was put in place 40 years ago under a totally different portfolio structure. It was all bonds, and it was to split 50% of the earnings, roughly, to the people for the dividends, and the other 50% to the state, and the state reinvested their monies. And we now have, you know, a little less than $80 billion in there. But the payout of that old structured formula is significant. It would be probably $4,200 this year, somewhere in there. And you cannot cash flow. The math doesn't work. You can't cash flow that and meet your other obligations.
The final compromise on the dividend this year was $2,600 with an additional $600 in energy relief for a total of $3,200. And what about the big projects? The roads, bridges, ferry terminals, and other capital spending that rides on the coattails of high oil prices. Stedman says the legislature allocated twice as much to projects in the current budget than in recent years, but he himself was reluctant to go overboard.
A lot of members wanted to have even bigger capital budget and, you know, buy more things for their communities, the election year and all that stuff. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to concentrate on fixing the fiscal position of the state so we don't go into another oil dip and then we're totally crippled. And I certainly didn't want to start new bigger projects and then have the finances turn around on us and we're stuck with a bunch of this deferred maintenance that we already have and projects that are underway that are now in trouble and we don't have the resources to help them. So I wanted the concentration on the state looking at their deferred maintenance, building our savings position, along with increasing the fiscal position of the cities, because they've been hit hard also.
The biggest immediate benefit to Sitka is not building something new, but paying for some things already built. The city will get a check for just over $4 million to cover school bond debt reimbursement that had been vetoed by the governor in his first year in office. The bonds paid for numerous improvements and remodels in the Sitka School District over the past decade. Stedman also wanted to knock off the total $200 million in deferred maintenance for Alaska schools, but he says, "I did not prevail in that position." Instead, the Senate opted to allocate half that amount. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.